Okay, this is Carl Coppola with AIM International, and today I'm speaking with John Green of IBM, and we're going to discuss the results of a recent survey done by AIM on behalf of IBM, where we looked at organizational attitudes and practices in the market today with regards to enterprise report management. Hi, John, how are you?
I'm doing good, Carl. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. Well, let's jump right into this. One of the things I found most interesting about the survey results is there was a very clear understanding amongst most of the respondents that transaction reports, which are the target of enterprise report management, are typically characterized as resources that are predominantly used internally. In other words, they're not thrown outside the firewall for customers, partners, and what have you to get firsthand access to, but rather used internally and predominantly on an as-needed basis. That is to say that they are not accessed in a set schedule, key point in a particular business process, but as need arises. And I'm wondering, did that surprise you at all? Do you agree that transaction reports are typically used on an as-needed basis and that their greatest value is internally in the organization? Or do you think that market adoption is out of sync with the reality of where the real power of ERM lies?
Well, in reality, I don't think that those two are necessarily as far out of sync as you think. So in answer to your initial question, no, it doesn't surprise me that the large majority of the content generated through reporting or in enterprise report management is for internal use, but it also doesn't necessarily negate the value of a lot of the bill and statement presentment use cases that we see out in the market. So from a volumetric standpoint, it absolutely makes sense to me based on our customer experiences that a large portion of the content generated is for internal use. However, you know, there's still within that group, there's still a external facing small subset of that report management content that is used for external customers and in general has a pretty high value. So I think both exist, and you know, one of the things that we set out to do is to address both of those as part of an overall enterprise report management strategy.
Good. You know, you were talking about the idea of external customers, and one of the things that the survey also looked at was the application of enterprise reports management and access to these transaction reports in a customer support setting. Again, the survey data came back saying that predominantly, well, first let me say that it is a popular application for this data resource. But most organizations said that they provide access to the reports to customer support personnel rather than giving access directly to the customer. Do you think that's a best practice?
It depends on what the data is and what the reports are. But I understand the thinking from a customer standpoint, which is statements or documents are for external facing and report data is for internal facing. But you could definitely see that there's a customer service value in providing some of those transactional reports to external facing customers to cut down on customer service traffic that quite frankly could have been handled in an online fashion where you know, you really didn't need to waste both customer time as well as customer service resources.
Interesting. So if I'm hearing you correctly, there's a recommendation that perhaps if organizations were a bit more liberal in the way they provide access to some of these transaction reports to their customers, there could be a time and a cost savings in meeting their customers' needs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think there's a balance there to be had, which is most frequently requested content being made available to customers versus more detailed and potentially cross-customer data. And the cross-customer data is my understanding of why you're going to see a lot of what the survey shows you. So oftentimes when you see transactional reports run internally, there's a lot of data within pages that actually hits on multiple customers, at which point obviously you can't make that externally available. However, anything that you can provide to a customer that basically allows them easier access to their own data while cutting down on the need for person-to-person customer service interaction, I think is good for both the customer and for the environment itself.
Yeah, that's a very excellent point you raise. I'm glad you raised that because it also speaks to something else we'll speak about in a little while, and that's the need to secure and proactively control access to this content. The example you gave is an excellent one. You know, if the transaction report is one that has multiple customer data, then there could be a huge liability in providing that to any one of the single customers mentioned, correct?
Sure, and keep in mind that one of the real values to enterprise report management is the electronic archive as well, and retrieval of reports that, you know, quite frankly, could have been created, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, and having IT go back and recreate those reports at this point in time sometimes isn't cost effective.
Okay, well, very good. Let's stick with this idea of secured access to this content for a moment. It was interesting. In the report, we asked to what degree or what percentage of enterprise transaction reports are under the control of a records management system. And it was pleasing for me to see, anyway, that 60% of those polled said that they do use records management to control the enterprise reports. But the next data fact was somewhat puzzling to me. Within that 60%, only 26% said they had a formal mechanism to control within there. So in other words, 34% are using a formal mechanism, but it's not a records management system per se.
Sure.
I'm wondering if you have any insights as to what it is they might be using and if, in your opinion, it's enough.
Well, so oftentimes in the compliance space, when we talk to customers about having their content under records control, it really comes down to a discussion of, is it under control from a policies and procedures standpoint, or is it under control from a formal records management product? And, you know, quite frankly, we see the numbers very similar to the survey, potentially even more so from a policy and procedure standpoint, which is, one of the reasons you're starting to see the growth of electronic records management systems within the industry, because the human cost of constantly having to rely on human policies and procedures is growing, and the reliability of that policy procedure based compliance is suspect at best.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, we could probably summarize that just by saying, you know, humans make mistakes.
Sure.
You know, you leave it to people to quote unquote do the right thing, and even the most well intentioned people could perhaps inadvertently do the wrong thing. Do you find, following up on that, do too many organizations wait until they're kind of caught with their pants down, so to speak, before they'll actually apply formal records management?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, and this is something that the industry is struggling with, which is the idea to go off and do formal records management has some level of cost, right? As does any enterprise software decision. However, the cost when you get stuck in some level of discovery, whether it's legal, whether it's an audit, it almost always outweighs your initial outlay of software from a record standpoint. And what we're seeing an awful lot of is, customers are in a little bit of a wait and see mode, which may work, but oftentimes doesn't.
And when it doesn't, the price they pay can sometimes be very high, can it?
It sure can. It sure can.
Okay. Well, good. One more question along these lines of control to the content. We also asked on the survey whether or not the respondents believe that multiple copies of these enterprise transaction reports exist in their organization. And here, again, a very strong response. 64% admitted that most definitely they know multiple copies of the reports exist. Another 25% were willing to say, you know, I just don't know. I can't say yes or no. But, you know, if each of those 25 were to investigate and find out, yeah, there are multiple reports, that's 89% saying that, you know, multiple copies are out there. Is there a risk in having multiple copies out there?
Well, there's clearly a compliance risk, but there's also the risk that those multiple copies are, in general, they're out there in some kind of paper format.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're out there in some kind of paper format, forget about the whole records and compliance security issue. Just your basic secured access to content issue is a real problem from a paper standpoint, because paper by definition has no security other than back to the policies and procedures standpoint. Humans following rules, and humans with the best intentions clearly can distribute content to the wrong people on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
The one other comment to that. That 89% number that you just calculated,
yep.
From our perspective, that number could be much higher.
Yeah.
it's 89. You know, it's 60% or 60+% that know it happens. 25% that think it may be happening, and potentially another 10% who don't know it's happening and it is.
Yeah, and you know, your comment there, I couldn't agree with more, and it leads to another question, which I'm going to be very interested to hear your response to. This idea that, you know, there's a reason why 89% or more of organizations out there have multiple copies of these reports running around, and it probably lies in the fact that these are popularly needed. You know, we talked about earlier that the need to access these reports is predominantly driven on an ad hoc, as-needed basis. So, you know, that says to me we can't necessarily anticipate every single way each one of the interested parties is going to want to grab these reports.
Sure.
So if we accept that as a fact, what I found rather interesting was 42% of the companies that we surveyed said they don't apply any kind of formal strategy to the way they store, manage, and thus provide access to content. On the other hand, 43% said that they do use some kind of formal approach. And I guess my question to you is, for those 42%, if there isn't a formal approach, a single way of tagging and providing access, is there any hope for the ability to provide this ad hoc access capability?
Sure, there's hope. So let's start with real quickly how customers get to that particular scenario. And you know, from my perspective, it's groups who own particular pieces of report content have needs that they address, and sometimes they don't address it in an enterprise way. So, you know, the popular example, which I think is completely valid, is anyone who is trying to get content out to their sales constituency will put together a procedure, usually through some kind of enterprise report management mechanism, to get that content out there so that particular group of customers can get to it. Now, that doesn't take care of all the other content within the enterprise that those particular customers need, but they address the need. And then another department or another group will go off and address their need. And they may do it through paper distribution of the reports. So what ends up happening is you have a fragmented strategy, And it's through no one's fault. It's through the evolution of the importance of the content. So back to your original question, absolutely there's some hope. The hope has got to be the adoption of a enterprise-wide report management strategy that allows you to get everything under control and then turn around and determine access as needed rather than on some kind of global basis.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit more. The idea that, you know, their hope lies in realization that there should be some formalized, top-down approach to controlling these reports, providing access to these reports. Yet, most organizations that we surveyed said when we asked the question, who typically are the owners or custodians of these reports, you know, the number one answer was various people throughout the organization. So there tends to be this sense that perhaps ownership lies with the original author. Is there a flaw in that model?
I don't think so. So usually there's two things. There's ownership, and there's ownership of the content, and then there's ownership of the management and distribution of the content. As long as the ownership of the content is left at the business level, yet somewhere within your IT infrastructure, if there isn't someone or a central point of contact as far as managing the distribution, all you really need to do is assign that, right? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, having let's say, for instance, HR own their particular pieces of content and sales owning their particular pieces of content is completely logical as long as an organization, you're willing to concede that you need someone to own the distribution of that.
Excellent point. So for those organizations out there that believe, geez, if I suddenly toss these reports into a organizational library, if you will, I'm losing all control over them, just is a misconception.
Absolutely, yeah. So there's the physical control of the distribution, but there still needs to be individual business owners that own the content, because otherwise, you know, you definitely don't want the infrastructure to be the ultimate business owner of each piece of content. But in order to really do this right, you need to have some level of centralized control for the distribution.
Okay. All right. So let me ask you this. How simple do the tools available today make it for someone who is not tech savvy? You know, I'm working in human resources, let's say, and I'm a real people person, and I do generate a lot of these transactional reports. I'm very leery of having them fall into the wrong person's hands. So, you know, on the other hand, I'm being told, hey, some people do need access to this. Put them into the central repository. You can still maintain control. How easy is it for this non-technical person to maintain that level of control?
It's actually very easy. And let me just give a quick example with IBM's Content Manager on Demand. While a centralized administrator would most likely handle defining the users and defining the reports and how they got stored, for each set of business users, there's absolutely no reason why we can't give them the security control to be able to determine whom and how access is given to their particular set of reports. So the idea is centralized control as far as capture of the content and definition of the content, but to a certain extent, distributed control from a security standpoint to the individual business owners. I think that's the model that really is going to work going forward for pretty much all enterprise report management capabilities.
Okay, all right. Well, let's shift focus a little bit and talk about the footprint of enterprise report management, focusing specifically on management of the content itself. One of the more interesting data points in the survey, and I say interesting because it was an absolutely perfect 50-50 split amongst the survey population when we asked, do you integrate a document management library services type functionality into your transaction report management environment? 50% said yes and 50% said no. And I'm wondering two questions here. Do you think the integration of document management, library check-in, check-out, revision control, is required or is a best practice, given that these reports tend to get generated once. And then secondly, what do you think is typically the straw that breaks the camel's back, so to speak, and gets an enterprise to say, you know, let's put a little document management into this environment?
So let me take your questions one at a time. So the first question, from an enterprise report management standpoint, specific to managing that content, no. I mean, you don't need document management capabilities. Ultimately, it is a use case that really drives more of a static content management component. However, where we're seeing these kind of combined use cases is in either a customer service type environment where content that was generated as reports, as well as interactive content like Word documents for letters that are going out, things of that nature, are used in the same application. That's where we're starting to see that tie-in with document management and report management. So in a pure report management use case, no, you don't necessarily need document management capabilities. However, when you're going to start to see those application use cases where that content is used in conjunction with dynamic content, or when those two pieces of content need some level of business process management to walk something through a formerly manual process into an automated process, that's where we're seeing the touch points. So I'm sorry, I missed your second question.
Actually, you just answered it. Is there something that pushes them over to wanting to integrate document management? And I think you just gave a very excellent series of examples to illustrate when that happens.
Sure, and you know, from IBM's perspective, we do not tell customers they have to do one or the other. Our goal is to provide a world-class enterprise report management product and strategy, but we are also providing world-class content, process, and compliance strategies. And whenever the use case requires the use or the mixture of these technologies, you know, we focus on the customer's need, and we'll provide that as well.
Sounds very good. And if I can just kind of paraphrase, when we think about transaction reports, there's a certain element to them that's very structured. That's the data, the transactional data. And then there's potentially an unstructured component, the words and pictures that perhaps go around it. The example you gave, letters going out to a customer, I thought was a very good example. And, you know, that's the unstructured content, the body of the letter, if you will. And so that's where you're saying document management might come into play and something like workflow might come into play.
Exactly. And again, it's clear that there's a need for both, which is enterprise report management on its own as a strategy, as well as enterprise report management tied into an overall ECM strategy. And, you know, we're not, we try and follow the customer's need there as far as where they're going with that particular strategy, thought process.
Okay. Well, good. Well, John, thanks. I've got one more question for you, or at least it might spring into a few others, but we're going to focus now on the application of the content in the reports themselves. And you provided a great segue when you mentioned, workflow and the fact that the content may be used in multiple processes as it exists throughout its life cycle. So the question is based, again, on almost a perfect split among survey respondents. It was a virtual 50-50 split when they were asked if the report content was available to other applications within the enterprise via an automated mechanism. And again, nearly half said yes, that is provided, and another half said no, it is not. Two-part question. We'll start with just one, though, if you can focus on it. In your experience working with customers, to what degree do you see the data within these reports being repurposed into other applications?
Okay, so that's a really good question. So because oftentimes we look at this as, the reports are the end result, and oftentimes The reports happen to be data that drives something else. And in answer to your original question, what we see is we see a mixture. There's really three or four ways to segment this. One is, earlier on in the conversation, we were talking about the fact that ad hoc lookup tends to be a very, very common use case within enterprise report management. And in that particular case, it's pretty rare that the data does anything more than either continue a conversation or maybe a small snippet of the data ends up driving another process, whether it's a manual process or an automated process. Then there's the idea of data report mining, where maybe a large portion of that report, the report content, needs to be extracted and manipulated for some level of accounting purposes. And we see that a lot in the financial world where, you know, these reports that end up having thousands and thousands of pages of data really need to be kind of manipulated down to more usable spreadsheets for analysis. So we're kind of seeing a mixture of that, but ultimately the data itself ends up being used somehow. Otherwise, people wouldn't be looking this stuff up that much, right? So it's either used in an ad hoc, smaller, compartmentalized, or a much larger analysis type use.
Okay. So in those instances where you see it being used in an analysis type approach, where the data will be repurposed in other applications, do you find that the majority therefore automate that transfer of data process, or is there still a significant part of the market that's doing that manually?
Oh, there's definitely a large portion of the market that's doing that manually, and that's definitely part of the enterprise report management story, right, is to automate that particular process, either automate it through some kind of scheduling or automate it through a one-time decision by an end user that says, hey, I need this particular report mined, and here's what I need it to look like. So now we see a lot of that being done manually. Still, it's surprising from the extent that a lot of these tools have been available for a while,
mm-hmm.
but it's not surprising based on the fact that oftentimes these decisions to do that level of mining are so short term
mm-hmm.
that ultimately the customer thinks that this is their best way to get at it, and potentially it's not.
What are some of the other issues or risks that they run when they take that kind of short-term focus and say, well, let's just do the brute force?
Well, I mean, you know, clearly there's transcribing problems, right, or potential mm-hmm. transcribing problems. The other thing is, time to use. It really depends on what they're looking to do. But, in one financial use case that I'm aware of, they after years of doing it that way, they ended up doing this scheduled where overnight they would actually generate reports. They would run reports and then do mining against the reports in an automated fashion. And the real value to them, since they were working in the stock industry, in the financial trade industry, was that they were able to get at that data, you know, first thing in the morning versus later on in the afternoon, and to them, time was money.
So significant time savings.
Yep.
Great example. You just mentioned that this technology has been available for quite some time, and I know in the white paper that was written, we talk about the fact that enterprise report management actually had its roots in something called COLD, computer output to laser disk, which does indeed date back well over 10 years ago. I'm wondering why you think the technology hasn't become a commodity in just in absolutely every organization today.
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. One, I mean, if you go back and look at the survey, to a certain extent, it is kind of well-established technology. However, I think the history of the adoption of it has a tendency to be smaller use case driven rather than an enterprise decision. So in a very large organization, it's not unheard of to find four, five, six different deployments of either COLD or its sister technology, report distribution technology, haven't been deployed for point use cases over the years. So I think the real direction these days is not necessarily the adoption of just enterprise report management technology, but it's the adoption of an enterprise report management strategy that allows you to put that content under control in a common method with common tools.
Excellent. We've kind of brought this conversation full circle. We're back to, you know, in the adoption cycle, a lot of organizations now are realizing that the point solutions perhaps need to be reeled in. And the reason for that is coming up with a centralized strategy, which is going to give them a higher level of control and lower risk. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's what we see for the next 5 years. We're going to be working with our customers around the idea of a centralized control strategy rather than a point solution strategy.
Excellent. You know, I personally find that comment interesting because it seems to mirror the entire enterprise content management marketplace. You know, a whole family of technologies that have been around for quite some time clearly are implemented in virtually every large organization, but not holistically, not centrally necessarily. Interesting.
Yeah, just one comment along those lines is that that's actually a evolution that's gone on in a lot of the enterprise software spaces. You know, a good example of that is database management, which is for years, customers were buying database solutions at a point solution. And over the last, 5, 6 years, there's been a real push to put it under centralized management, centralized control, while the applications themselves all end up being unique. And I think enterprise report management and ECM in general is following that particular trend right now.
So we can learn from the mistakes and successes of the past.
Of course.
Good.
That's what we're all trying to do, isn't it?
Yeah, let's hope anyway. John, let me wrap this up by asking, do you have any final comments or do you want to bring up any other data points that you saw in the report that we haven't spoken about yet?
Well, I think we've hit on the most interesting piece to me, but just to kind of reiterate, you know, a lot of customers have their report management solutions from their perspective out there, but one of the big things we're seeing is that those despairing systems are ultimately giving them a little bit of trouble where having you know, paper-based archives versus, you know, vendor X cold solutions and vendor Y report distribution solutions, it may have worked early on in the cycle, but in this point of the evolution of the technology and of our customers, a real enterprise report management strategy seems to be the right way to go.
Well, good. Thanks a lot, John. Now, hold on. I'm going to shut the recording off, and then we can wrap up. Hold on.
Sure.
Wow, John. Thank you.